Welcome back, everybody, to Championship Week Video Notebook here at Hoops HD, officially day one. We had a day zero show. I'm your host, Chad Wood, joined by David Griggs. We'll get to him
in a second. Locked in a shed down here in Texas, Chad.
Also, back with us, John Stalica. Stalica, back again. Welcome back.
David, you're complaining about being locked in a puppet bunker.
Yes.
I was locked on the Hoops HD message board with Henry. That's worse.
Wow. Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org also with us tonight. We've got a lot to get to. What we're going to be doing tonight and throughout all of these video notebook shows is we're going to do a little news and notes at the top of the show if necessary. We're then going to review all of the games that went on in conference tournaments from the day, preview the next day's games, update our survival board. We've got a few other odds and ends we're going to get to also later on in the show, but let's get right into it. And there is a little bit of news and notes because there was several big games tonight and that may have affected things. But actually, before I get to that, David.
Yes, I'm locked in a bunker here. What's up?
We mentioned it last night in the show. We were sending you off to Frisco, Texas. How is it? How was the trip?
It sucks, Chad. They were supposed to bring me to they were supposed to put me in like a VIP area. Well, none of that is even set up yet. It's just the puppet bunker that's here.
David Griggs is locked in the puppet bunker. He will be there until we decide to let him out. The puppet bunker this year, if people did not believe it was real, there it is. It is in Frisco, Texas at the Conference USA tournament.
Right now, I think 20 yards long and 5 yards wide.
It's a nice size box there, David.
I'm locked in here, Chad.
But let's get to some news and notes from today. Actually, there was a couple of scores that meant things. And a couple of notes in the Big Ten. Let's start with that, where Michigan State down big at Penn State made a huge comeback to win that game, continue their streak. Purdue with a big road win at Iowa. And my Rutgers Scarlet Knights went and completely destroyed Maryland at home, as everyone knew they would. You know, another top 10 team at home going down to the Scarlet Knights. Rocco, let me ask you this. Coming up on Saturday, we got Rutgers at Purdue. Very bubblicious looking game now suddenly.
Suddenly it is. And I think the key with Purdue is no margin for error. Of course, no team has been selected as an at-large with more than 15 losses. We've only seen the 15-loss thing happen a couple of times, and that's both in recent memory. So if Purdue can get the win for their sake, they then can enter the Big Ten tournament, bow out at some point, and they're still in play for a bid based on what we know from history. From the Rutgers standpoint, I think it's very well documented. They need a win. They need a quality win away from home. This definitely presents that opportunity. It will be in the quad one range, maybe even 1A, actually. So huge stakes for both teams.
Well, look, I mean, Rutgers' final five games of the season were all quad one games here. So, I mean, no other team in the nation had to face that type of a gauntlet down the stretch. So this was a huge win, though, tonight. We also saw an amazing last-second comeback by Texas against Oklahoma. We talked about Texas last night in the Hoops HD report portion of the show. But, Stalica, let me bring you in here. The Longhorns, with this win now at Oklahoma, at-large bid team now?
I would probably say they would have been an at-large team even before this game, and Oklahoma was another team that was kind of shoring up their own case with the win at West Virginia, but now the Sooners. I'm not going to say they're on shaky ground, but I think Texas suddenly has a bit more of a strong foundation. Now, you don't want to give that away with a loss at home on senior day against Oklahoma State, but I would say right now, maybe first four, maybe above the first four, but I think Texas has to be feeling a lot better about their chances as compared to, let's say, a Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Mississippi State, another team.
That's a good resume. I mean, good in the sense that I think it lands them somewhere between the bubble and the top of the bracket, so 9, 10, 11 range. But, like, I mean, the win at Texas Tech, the win at Purdue, that's pretty solid. And then, and then when you look at the loss, it doesn't bottom out that bad. No losses outside the top 100. A winnable game to close the year, 10-8 in a big. That's a tournament resume.
Yeah. Also, we saw tonight West Virginia almost lost another game. They got a much needed win at Iowa State. And Rocco, the upset of the night was Tennessee goes into Lexington and knocks off the Kentucky Wildcats that we were just singing their praises last night of how well Kentucky was suddenly playing.
They were on fire. It's a pretty big surprise. I mean, Tennessee came in. They played great on Saturday. I'll give them credit. They got the win against Florida on their home court. Florida is very schizophrenic, so I think we chalk that more up to Florida's inconsistencies and Tennessee's success. But Tennessee tonight, they got down pretty big early. And then, you know, honestly, I kind of started paying closer attention to Texas and some of the other games going on. And I was shocked to see Tennessee storm all the way back, not only take the lead, but by the time they got the lead, they stretched it out to 7 or 8, ended up winning by 8. It was amazing. So, you know, looking at the Tennessee profile now, they still definitely got to get a win against Auburn at home, but definitely looking more likely with the newfound confidence they have. So a new interesting team to add to the mix.
Yeah,
the funny thing is, you look at a team like Kentucky, they've only had 2 losses at home all year, and right. Ironically enough, the beginning and the end of the year.
that is kind of funny. This Tennessee profile could become interesting with the Auburn win, especially if they pick up, you know, another decent win in the SEC tournament over a bubblish or better team. It puts them in the conversation at least.
I think so too. And I think one thing that will really help them is they have a top 15 non-conference strength of schedule that will really start to stand out if they get into the mix for the final selection. They could really sneak in and be an ideal fit for the first 4 with that, but a lot of work to do still.
I think if you're a team like Cincinnati, this was not a good development for the Bearcats tonight, but if you're a team like UCLA and Stanford, you're going to be looking over your shoulder here because Tennessee, obviously, they really need to beat Auburn at home, and if they can steal away 1 or 2 wins in the SEC tournament, then there's going to be some serious discussions among the selection committee as well as our own panel.
Just one other quick note here. The coaching carousel has already begun. Rick Ray out at Southeastern Missouri tonight. And Rocco, you mentioned this before we went on the air here. We suddenly have our first games canceled, at least from what we're hearing. Due to coronavirus.
Maybe.
It's not 100% confirmed yet, but it's being reported that Chicago State is not going to play their last 2 road games of the season at Utah Valley, not Seattle.
Correct, yeah. So Jeff Goodman, stadium, well-known guy, has reported that. There's no official announcement yet, so I think the assumption now is that is happening. We talked before we got on the air, I think, wondering what percentage of that has to do with them being in last with nowhere to advance and maybe saving a few dollars by not having to go to Seattle or Utah.
If I am the WAC, they are not saving dollars.
Oh, okay.
I would fine them for that on the grounds that is utterly ridiculous.
Yeah, and maybe there are some late night phone calls happening to try to prevent this. So we don't know how it's going to shake out.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll know by tomorrow night if it's official or not. But let's move right into the conference tournament games that were played today. And it was quarterfinal round day in the Atlantic Sun Conference, which saw all four home teams win, but the games were closer than expected. Well, I guess I said, hey, keep an eye on this North Florida Jacksonville game. Actually, that game, North Florida was up by about 10 late, and Jacksonville made a little bit of a run late to make that final score closer.
Yeah, it was. They were up late, Chad, but it was back and forth. Jacks had a lead early on in the game. It was a fun game to watch.
Yeah, North Alabama also had a nice lead early in the first half against Stetson. But the 2 games I want to discuss there, first of all, Rocco, Liberty did not blow out NJIT like we thought they would.
It was ugly.
NJIT was there until the final minute.
Yeah, we talked about Liberty a couple weeks ago, and this is the problem with them. You know, they played down to the competition because of their style. They use most of the shot clock. They depend on defense. They want to grind the opponent. So they're a really great, ideal fit for an upset in the NCAAs against a higher echelon team. But when they play the NJITs of the world, and now they're going to have to play a Stetson team that knows how to beat them, they're actually in some trouble coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, but even for a game where you're going to have a slow tempo, this was still, I think, a season low for points in the first half for Liberty at 22, I want to say.
Yeah. David, the game, probably the best game of the entire night was the 3-6 game here, the Lipscomb-Florida Gulf Coast game.
Yeah, it came down to the very end. Gulf Coast had a chance to win it in the final minute, or I say win it. They had a chance to go ahead, couldn't get it done. It was stretched out to 5 because of fouls. But, nice win for Lipscomb. They have struggled this year, but they've kind of pulled it together here late for a third place finish. And tonight, the fans storming the court after big quarterfinal win. That North Florida Lipscomb game is going to be interesting. I know that Stetson knows how to beat Liberty. There's certainly a reason to show it. I just think that I'm trying to think that they're finally going to be awake for that one.
Yeah, I think that you could see Liberty blow them out. Now, we'll talk about these again tomorrow night. There's a day off in this tournament. They'll be back in action Thursday. So let's jump over to the Big South, though. It was first round day, three games that were played on campus sites. There'll be a day off again on Wednesday before they come back on Thursday for the quarterfinals, which will all be in Radford. This conference was not quite as exciting, although Sleek, I guess the Asheville-Campbell game was one you would think by seeds would be at least interesting, was the closest of them all.
Well, this would certainly be the closest game, and given some of the shenanigans in the Big South in the past, you were just hoping that the shot clocks were actually going to be operational, no technicals were going to be issued.
Yeah, it was not a good night. Actually, that the State High Point game was not even really that close, and that was a 10-point finale. Tubby Smith's season is over. Presbyterian got kind of blown out, and David, as you just call it, North Charleston Southern. I guess Rocco, can any of these three teams that we saw win tonight? Do you think any of them have chances to pull upsets in the next round?
So I looked into this before the show. Charleston Southern and Radford only met one time, and that game was actually on Radford's home court, and it went to overtime. It was a heck of a game. Radford pulled it out at the end by three. But that tells me perhaps Charleston Southern could pull off a stunner. They've actually battled a lot of teams. They pulled off the shocker at Missouri earlier this year. I know it's one of David's favorite teams, so let's take a closer, pay a little closer attention to them. And then I think in terms of the 4-5 game, I think that should be a real good one with Hanson and Longwood. Not really an upset either way in my book. It'll be cool to see Longwood get to a semi. I think that'd be a first for them.
I wouldn't be surprised if Hampton ends up being favored in that game. But another conference will come back to again tomorrow night. We've got a lot of days off with these early conferences that are played at home courts. But David, mm-hmm. Horizon League in this, whatever the heck this thing is, that is this bracket with all these reseeds
it's a ladder reseed.
We did have a real fun game in the Milwaukee Youngstown State game tonight, though.
Yeah, that one was good. Youngstown State, the fans showing up for this one. A real nice win for them. In kind of exciting fashion. The other game, Illinois-Chicago just destroyed UPUI. So those two will face each other. And then Oakland, not a lot of trouble with Cleveland State. It was kind of close
for about a half, though.
Yeah, close for about a half. And then Oakland pulled away on the blacktop, and I believe we're moving to Indianapolis. IUPUI is hosting, even though they're out.
No, not to Indianapolis until Monday. This second round, or I guess it was a quarterfinal round.
It's
also at campus sites. Oakland will be at Green Bay Thursday night. Youngstown will be in Illinois. We'll be in Chicago for UIC.
That is quite a bracket they've got there.
John, any thoughts on what's coming up in the rest of this event here?
Oh, Green Bay's actually going to be a little bit rested because Detroit found out last week that they were going to be ineligible for the conference tournament after losing their appeal. So you would think they would have a little bit of extra time to prepare for Oakland right here. But my guess is we'll probably see Green Bay in a mild upset. Youngstown State actually advanced to the semifinal round.
Yeah, we'll talk about it again tomorrow night. I do like the Youngstown pick.
I'm just kind of disappointed we didn't get to see what the bracket looked like with Detroit in it.
There would have been another game over here and another spot. Rocco, the theme that we've seen so far is all these games tonight have been on home courts. The home team won. One more conference that was in action, and again, two more home teams winning. But it was both games were actually looked like blowouts at halftime. They both ended up with great finishes in the Patriot League tonight.
Yeah.
I exclusively watched the Loyola Lehigh game. I have a special interest I've mentioned a couple times with Santi Aldama playing for Loyola, one of the best recruits Patriot League's ever seen. But unfortunately for Loyola, Their star upperclassman, Andrew Kosteka, all Patriot League player, went down two games ago. So once again, they were shorthanded, as they were most of the season, because Aldama was hurt until February. He tried to carry the team on his back. He had 23. They had another freshman with 24. Watch out for Loyola. They have three of the top five all-freshman team on the same team. If they stick together next year, they'll be a real mid-major to watch. But Lehigh survives on their home court, as you said. Really good game. Feisty effort at the end by the Greyhounds. Didn't work out. And then Bucknell got a little bit more than they bargained for with Holy Cross, obviously.
Yeah, Holy Cross showed more life than they've shown all season, I think, tonight.
Yeah.
They did go down, though. David, how many of these two winners tonight? Can Lehigh upset Colgate?
No.
Can Bucknell upset American, though? Is, you know, after their disappointing effort, I think, tonight against Holy Cross,
if anybody's going to do it, I think Bucknell has a chance against American, mm-hmm. but I don't I really don't think Lehigh's going to take down Colgate. I really like this Colgate team, even though they just lost. Unlike Rocco, I was not watching this exclusively. I mean, I had a lot of other games on and was kind of keeping up with it. And like, this is going to sound funny, but it's the truth. I was confusing the two games because they were so similar. Like, you know, the home team jumps out early.
It was. Both games.
Like, they had a comfortable, I don't want to say blowout, but comfortable lead at the half. Then they blew it. And the visiting team came back and actually got a lead. And then they got control in the final minute or so. I mean, it was crazy.
Well, that was it for today's games. Tomorrow we have three more conferences none of these conferences are in action on Wednesday, but we do have three new conferences coming to play here. John, let me start with you with one of our favorite conferences. It is quarterfinal day in the Northeast Conference tomorrow. Four games all going on simultaneously, and the NEC Front Row webpage actually has a quad screen on it, so you can get all four games on at the same time. Check that out. But John, SFBK at Robert Morris, Bryant at SFPA, Mount St. Mary's at Sacred Heart, and Fairleigh Dickinson at Long Island. What are your thoughts on these games tomorrow?
Well, my thought is Mary Mac should be here hosting throughout the tournament, but we have to at least congratulate them on the outright regular season title. That said, this is a conference that's usually a little bit chaotic. I think Robert Morris and St. Francis are usually going to be safe bets to advance at least a round, but also keep an eye on Mount St. Mary's, who has traditionally been a noisemaker in this tournament. Sacred Heart, not usually in a position where they're going to be hosting conference tournament games, so could be uncharted territory for them.
Yeah, I like that Mount St. Mary's upset pick tomorrow. Rocco, who do you like to win this entire event, and do you have any other thoughts on any crazy upsets tomorrow here?
Yeah, a couple thoughts. So my pick to win the event, I'm going to have to go with St. Francis PA. I just think they have the most talented team. Their top two guys are both all-conference guys. They're both seniors. This is their last shot to do it. They lost last year, if you remember, on their home floor to Fairleigh Dickinson. I actually got to cover the semifinals of this tournament last year when Fairleigh Dickinson beat Robert Morris. And that actually is a nice segue into my upset pick tomorrow. I like the way that Fairleigh Dickinson finished this year with three straight wins, including a win over number one seeded Robert Morris. They'll get to come across the water to play Long Island, and I think they'll get it done. And so I'll go with the Knights to get back to the semis at least.
Yeah, it's a little bit more of a 4 or 5 upset when you're playing on home courts than it is in a neutral court. So I think that you know there's more of a challenge there. David, any other thoughts by you? Do you agree with that SFPA pick to win this?
I think so. One of the things I would love to see is I would like to see St. Francis Brooklyn like pull the upset, and then all of the other chalk holds, because you know what that gives us. A Blackbirds, St. Francis, Brooklyn.
No, that would give us SFBK against SFPA. We'd have to have all the upsets happen actually to get the battle.
Well, that's what I want.
Because they do reseed here, David.
Yeah, all the upsets.
Yeah, there's a reseed here also between the Wednesday and Saturday's semifinals. Yeah. So.
And they would have to wear throwback uniforms to beat the Blackbirds. They're now the Sharks.
Well, they're still the Blackbirds.
Okay, so I'm in. I like the Blackbirds better.
Yeah.
It is, for the first time ever, this early in the season, this early in the first week of championship week, the Mountain West Tournament is kicking off tomorrow. Con Expo, Con AGG 2020, pushing it up a week.
And look what we've got at 8 o'clock.
We have the Border War, the real Border War, David.
No, we've got the Front Range.
No, it's the Border War. It is.
It is, yeah.
It's a Front Range game in the Border War, Colorado State of Wyoming. Before that, you've got the 7-10 game between Mexico and San Jose State and the 8-9 game between Fresno and Air Force. Sleek, let me start with you. You know, who do you like in this event, and what do you like? Do you see any upsets tomorrow?
I probably am not going to be going out on a limb tomorrow as far as too many upsets, unless you want to go with Air Force right here. But I think we're going to be looking at a potential San Diego State, and I'm going to say Boise State in the semifinal, and I'm going to say Nevada will probably beat Utah State in the other semifinal, which is obviously the last thing you want to hear if you're an Aggies fan angling for an at-large bid here.
Right. And Rocco, we mentioned it the other day, but Utah State, who just lost to New Mexico, may have to play them again, assuming New Mexico gets backed by San Jose State. And San Diego State, whose only loss was to Vegas, could get them if they get by Boise. So this could be some tough rematches for the top two seeds in this tournament.
Completely agree. I also think down below there's an interesting team. Colorado State's played really well in the last 6 weeks or so, and they've come really close. They were up pretty late against San Diego State, couldn't get it done, lost by 6, I believe.
Didn't they lose by 30 at Vegas, though?
They did, yes. Okay. Well, luckily for them, they're both on the other side of the bracket.
So okay.
I'm just saying a sleeper team to maybe get to the final. I actually think on a neutral court, Utah State should be okay against New Mexico. New Mexico, a much different beast when they're playing in the pit. And they came together really, really nicely at the end of that game for senior night, a different New Mexico finish than we've seen most of the year. But I do like, I think it might be the obvious Cinderella pick. I do like UNLV playing at home, and with all the recent momentum, it's a great story brewing there.
Yeah, I do too, Rocco. I mean, the way that they've played down the stretch, the fact that the game's in their home building, albeit not on their home court, and how closely they've played San Diego State in both games. Yeah. I kind of like that pick.
You said not on their home court because they bring a different floor in for the tournament. Just to clarify.
Did I say that backwards? It's in their building. It's not on their court.
It's a special court. Yes, you're right. Go ahead, David.
No, it's the same court. They bring in a different building.
Okay.
because of the Con Expo Con AGG.
I'm going to go way out of the limb in the Mountain West here. I'm picking Boise State to win this entire tournament.
Oh, you're crazy.
Just throwing it out there. It's my pick of the Jerome, so.
All righty. I got UNLV.
I got my best shot to have my pick lose in the very first game is in this conference. I get it.
Of course, I would also break one of our bracketing bylaws because Boise State, by law, has to go to Dayton first, but that can't happen if they're winning the Mountain West tournament.
We're going to break that with Arizona State, too, this year. But Ohio Valley Conference is the final conference to tip off tomorrow. It is the two first-round games. The top two teams won't play till Friday. But the 5-8 game between Tennessee State and Morehead State and the 6-7 game between Eastern Illinois and David, Ray Harper's Jacksonville State team is in there. And you know what he does in conference tournaments always.
He wins them when he's at Eastern Kentucky, despite being an 8-9 seed. Western Kentucky, despite being – I think he won it twice after two – in back-to-back years after having an overall losing record. So, the game – that game is really intriguing because Eastern Illinois was awful until about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and they have been absolutely on fire. Yeah. I think that they could get to Friday, maybe Saturday. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Eastern Illinois actually won this tournament.
Oh, I'm not going to go that far, but Rocco, did you have a pick to win this event? Any thoughts on whether or not Morehead could pull the upset of Tennessee State in the early game?
Yeah, I really struggled with this pick earlier, filling out the Jerome form. I am going to stick with Belmont. I do think they're the best overall team, and I think they might have a little bit of revenge on their mind from last year. But Murray State plays the best defense in the league, and that's going to keep them in any game they're playing. although they did get beat pretty good recently, I think they're going to bring a lot of fans to Evansville as well. So I consider that aspect. I think Austin Peay's got a great player, but I don't see them getting past Murray in a tournament setting. And I like what David's saying about Eastern Illinois. I also think Tennessee State might be able to pull off a couple wins.
Yeah, John, let me just get your thought here. But my thought is I could see form completely holding. I could see the seeds holding completely throughout this entire event.
I'm probably going to go in the opposite direction of Rocco here because Moorhead, they've actually beaten Tennessee State and they've been competitive against Eastern Kentucky. So to me, it would not be out of the realm of possibility if they're actually able to pull off a couple upsets in the tournament, but they are not getting by Belmont here.
This is a team that backed into the tournament by losing, I think, three out of their last four. I don't know. And have everyone
else
lose.
Six out of seven.
It's even worse. Yeah. Even worse. Yeah. Thank you, David. On that note, though, that's all the games that are on the conference tournament slate for tomorrow. But before we go any further, David, we started a new feature for our Championship Week video notebooks. We started last night. We are taking a look back at some of the greatest moments in our past Championship Week video notebooks.
Yes.
You were not very keen on my moment that I picked last night.
You posted something that was utterly ridiculous. It was just a screenshot of
it was a great moment, I thought.
Rocco and Tytel. Anyway, I've got a moment here. I think we've got it queued up here. The controls are a little weak, but this is going back.
I don't think we have any sound, but I think we do have the video of it at least.
Oh, we don't have the sound? We can't get the sound?
You know what? Let me see if we can't get the sound. David, keep talking for a second. We've got to take this out and get the sound.
Well, anyway, this is going back to 2016. I believe you'll remember this. This happened on the Championship Week video notebook. This is the Big Sky quarterfinal game. That was played on the big, you know, and we have, I think, we at least have video. We have video and audio.
Here we go.
Here we go. This is again, 2016 Big Sky quarterfinal game.
Jamie Sykes, Carter pressuring. It's to Jenkins, to Drew for the win. Gone!
Yes! Price is remarkable.
Falpo has.
What is just a great moment that was. It's hard to believe that was 4 years ago or three.
David. I didn't think the four sleepers went back that far in the Big Sky.
Okay, great moments in Championship Week video notebook history, David. That was on the show, huh?
Yeah, I don't know. I was drinking a lot back then, but I think this was on the show.
Let's go to our survival board. This is our NCAA tournament survival board here. This is where we were after the night last night, we had one more elimination after we were done on the air with the SWAC, but there were 328 teams remaining alive. And David, this is a service we do for the selection committee, correct?
Yes. I mean, the selection committee, it serves as a guide so they know what to do. They know who to select, they know who to evaluate, and they know who to ignore in the event that a team is removed or eliminated from their conference tournament. You see the teams in bold. That's who the committee needs to select. The teams in italics is who they need to discuss. And the teams in normal type, those are teams that they don't need to worry about unless they win the automatic bid.
Correct. And like we said, after last night, we had 328 teams available alive. As a result of tonight's actions and tonight's games, we are down to 317 teams remaining.
Ooh, yeah, 11 teams eliminations.
Off. Yeah, there were 12 conference tournament games. One of them was North Alabama, who was already off the board. So 11 eliminations. And now, if you're on the selection committee and you go down here and you say,
I love that Brian's always on them.
But now, David, though, if you're on the selection committee, you say, should we take Ohio State or not? You can go to this. They can go to this website and they will know.
Yes, you should. Yeah. You should.
If they say, well, maybe, I wonder if we should take William & Mary as that large bid.
Right, and that can be confusing. I mean, you don't know. Should you? Shouldn't you? That's what this board does for you.
You should not. Not as that large.
Yeah.
They can still get in, but if they win it, only if they win an automatic bid.
Now, I couldn't help but notice that you also took DePaul off the survival board. Note what they did earlier tonight at home against Marquette.
We did mention that earlier, and this, John, I don't agree with that either. So this is our survival board. It will continue to be updated, and our good friend Brian Black, 353 jerseys for Hope, will keep tweeting out his pictures of him, of the jerseys as they get knocked off the board here. But on that note, let's get rid of this and go to final thoughts and I don't know that we have any more videos of Bryce Drew. I mean, Boise State or whoever it was that Dave was talking
about. No, it was Bryce Drew against Ole Miss in the Big Sky, was it? Yeah.
Final thoughts. Sleeka, you want to start us off?
Well, it was 2 years ago where we saw the Big Ten actually get off to an early start in championship week thanks to their tournament in Madison Square Garden. So we would hope that you would at least be able to rotate a conference, maybe not the Big Ten, but like the Mountain West or the American periodically, where you can at least get a little more exposure where you would typically get caught behind the weeds during championship week on TV. So obviously we've talked about San Diego State ad nauseum about their own chase for the number one seed, but Utah State is going to have the greatest sense of urgency coming on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. Rocco.
Yeah, just two quick final thoughts. So I think John mentioned earlier that Liberty had their lowest scoring first half tonight. I was actually looking at, when you brought that up, I was looking at some of their previous matchups with Stetson, and the game that Stetson beat Liberty, they actually only scored 14 points in the second half. So Stetson can really put the clamps down like Liberty does. That's going to be a rock fight, to say the least, in the semifinals. And then the other final thought I had is, you know, looking ahead to tomorrow and considering all the developments of tonight around the bubble with teams like Tennessee, Texas, Purdue, Rutgers getting really, really big wins, that puts some of the A-10 under the microscope a little bit further when you think about Rhode Island and Richmond. Rhode Island, opportunity of a lifetime tomorrow with Dayton coming to Kingston. That is definitely going to be one to watch. So very much looking forward to that game, see how they respond.
Yeah, that's going to be a big one off of the conference tournament circuit here. And that's kind of, we've got a kind of the light day tomorrow in the conference tournaments, all things considered. After tomorrow, things are going to be just a crazy lot more games. But David, yeah. You want to finish out the show?
Yeah. It's just sort of crazy to think the championship week's here and that, like I said last night, if you're still playing, if you're still on the survival board, you can play your way in regardless of how your season has gone so far. I just would like to think there is talk about the NCAA tournament and games being either moved or rescheduled or canceled or how they're going to manage the coronavirus. I really hope it doesn't come to that. I don't think it needs to. I just hope that it doesn't disrupt everything and that everybody's able to stay healthy.
Yeah. I got to echo that. And on that note, though, I do want to thank everybody for joining us. We'll be back again tomorrow night with another video notebook. But on behalf of John Stalica, Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, David Griggs, Locked in the Puppet Bunker, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again real soon.